B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Phil Grimes, 95 The Sports Hub.
Okay, that ludicrous playoff idea in baseball. What's your conspiracy theory, Murray?
Yeah, so something stinks here. Baseball obviously has a black eye from the sign-stealing scandal this offseason. So what can make people stop talking about it? What you guys just talked about in the last 10 minutes. A wacky new playoff format. One that also ensures that a middling crap team like the Angels, that has the game's best player in Mike Trout, can now make the playoffs, everyone. You've been saying the game's got to promote Mike Trout. Well, here we are. We're improving the game. We're promoting our stars. It's a diversionary tactic. And we all kind of fell for it because I was reading in the headlines yesterday. We immediately had thoughts on it. People are talking about it all over the country today. Sports radio, sports fans, baseball fans. It's look at this shiny new thing over here, baseball fans, and ignore the rampant cheating that's gone on by these scummy teams that recently won World Series. It's a sham. Also a sham is the Red Sox not getting their punishment today or this week. Rob Manfred is probably forced to delay investigating and coming out with this report, and now it's going to go into the spring, because late last week, the Wall Street Journal had an update to this whole thing that made Manfred look like a complete fool, and that he tried to get this thing wrapped up as quickly as possible, because it turns out the Astros sign-stealing scandal came from the front office and an intern that was in the front office. So something's up here. And so maybe another report's coming out from the Wall Street Journal or someone that's still investigating this thing, maybe someone from the Athletic, who knows. And he might actually be forced to punish the Red Sox despite making a deal with John Henry. Something stinks here.
And the timing is, there was rumblings earlier today that
it was coming today.
The report was coming out today, that their punishment was coming out today, and the Major League report was coming out today. Shaughnessy said that when he stepped into the midday show at 11 a.m., get your finger on the button, because it's going to drop, at any minute. And then all of a sudden it's not, and it's going to go into the spring. So what happened there?
Good question.
What happened there? What prevented them from dropping the report today in conjunction with this ludicrous playoff idea? All sort of came within 24 hours. So did they float out that playoff idea as a false flag?
It's a false flag baseball operation.
to divert us from another Wall Street Journal report about further cheating on X, Y, and Z. So I don't know. I'll buy it, Murray. It's a possibility. I still do think the Sox are going to be cleared, or baseball is given that indication, because apparently they just in the last 10 minutes, officially announced Ron Renicke is the interim manager.
Yeah. They issued a release, yeah.
Yeah.
So that leads me to believe they believe they're in the clear.
MLB gave them the go-ahead. That's how I look at it. That, you know, their camp is opening. The Red Sox said, what's the deal here? We need to know, is Renicke involved or not? Go ahead and announce it. He's not involved. We'll make sure he's not involved. Even if he is, he won't be involved. Okay, got to get on with the season. You need someone to run your camp. Get it. So there you go. And so, to me, I mean, what else could it possibly be? How can the Red Sox possibly announce Renicke today, and then if MLB were to come up with an investigation result in 4 weeks?
Right.
Like, he's got to be clear.
Right.
Otherwise, they all look like a bunch of idiots.
So how is this thing, it's quote-unquote going into the spring?
Yeah.
Now, what I don't know is, does that mean spring technically, like March 22nd?
Spring training.
Right. Right. I don't know.
All right. So stay tuned on that one. This Red Sox stuff mixing in with the Brady watch, which is what we began the show with. In fact, Jaguar's in the car on Brady. Go ahead, Jaguar.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What do you got?
A quick question for you. So based off the numbers, couldn't we sign Brady and then also bring back unrestricted free agents Hogan and Edelman?
Yes.
Hogan and Amendola, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Both of them would be on unrestricted free agent contracts. You could get them cheap.
Yes.
Pretty much similar to the same team that we had against the Falcons. I believe Harry's an upgrade over Malcolm Mitchell, I think, back then. Basically the same team besides.
You're still missing a tight end. I'm just going to cut you off. But bringing back a guy like Amendola or Hogan is the least of your issues. Brady wants real talent. Those are his guys that make him comfortable. Won't cost you anything. Like, that's easy. No, Brady wants an actual left tackle, an actual tight end, an actual wide receiver that knows what he's doing and that he trusts and has some name value. So, you know, that's not saying to Tom, we're going to bring back Hogan and Amendola is not enough.
No.
Hogan was out of the circle of trust in that last season anyway.
Thank you, Murray. I was just about to say the same thing. He gets squeezed out, and, you know, now it's 2 years later. Who knows what those guys are like?
Jimmy and Brockton on the Sox. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Tony? Jim and Jim?
We're good. What do you got?
Yeah, Mike, I don't know how a, you know, trading your best player and one of your best pitchers, you know, helps your team, especially the players they got back. I'd like to just hear your opinion on that.
Well, it's a long-term play, Jimmy. It doesn't help them this year, and even Heim Bloom admitted it. It's, you know, it's fair to think they're going to be worse this year. So you take a step back to take two steps forward, that happens. So that's like, and I actually have no real issue with that. I would have liked to seen them hold on to Betts and just rent them for the year and maybe push the reset off a little bit or just wait to see what happens and keep all your options open. But the whole thing about getting under the tax has never been my problem. I've never blasted them for that once. I don't think John Henry's cheap. I just think it's the way business is done in that league, and that's all fine. That's all fine. I think the way the decision-making went down on the return is all screwed up and really has me questioning what's going into the decision-making over there? And is it just a big, convoluted mess, too many fingers in the pie over there?
Yeah, I don't like the way the trade went down either. I mean, it does. But you know how I felt about trading Betts. If Betts were signable or they had a better minor league system, then I think you keep Mookie. But they deemed neither one of those things to be true. I happen to agree with them on that, and so they moved him.
Jake is in Andover. He's been holding for a long time to give me a Bruins thought. I don't want to leave him hanging. We're not really doing much Bruins today, but Jake, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. I appreciate it. I know I've been waiting a while, but my biggest thing right now is obviously we have the Celtics and the Bruins coming up with the playoffs coming up. And regardless of their schedule right now, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, they're quoted the best team in hockey, best record in hockey. I just feel like this is a fraudulent kind of hockey. To me right now, they feel like the 2019 Green Bay Packers. They have the numbers, they have this, but it's like they don't have that trigger finger that's going to seal them a game. And I really, really think if they're going to go in, they have to trade some of this fodder at the bottom of the thing and some type of salary and target two guys that I haven't named, bottom of the league guys on the Kings and then the Hurricanes, or someone like a right winger, top six guy, Tyler Toffoli and Svechnikov.
Toffoli, okay. So I don't think they're a fraudulent team. I think they're a top five team in the league. I think Tampa has a better roster than them. I think Washington has a better roster than them. So I think they are what they are. Their record is like the second or third best record in hockey. Tampa's about to catch them. They might catch them. But I don't think there's anything fraudulent about it. I think for them to go all the way, they do have to make a move, though. They do. And Toffoli might be enough. Toffoli might be enough, but they have to do something to help close that gap against those teams talent-wise. And I think they will. I think they understand this is it. This is it for this group. I thought last year was it for this group, but turns out they're going to eke out one more, so go for it. I think they will.
Yeah, they need a forward with some size. The guy he said from Carolina, Svechnikov, isn't that the kid? Isn't he like 20?
I'm just not familiar.
So if that's who I think it is.
I mean, the name's familiar to me, but I can't tell anything about
it. Yeah, I don't think Carolina's going to move him. Why the hell would they move him? Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, we've got Dante in the car on Brady. Hi, Dante.
Okay, you can't possibly be serious about Andy Dalton coming to the Patriots and then winning the division.
Say it again, Dante. Your phone blows. Say it again.
You can't be serious about Brady leaving and the Patriots still winning the division next year with Andy Dalton, right? You're serious about that?
100%. Dead serious.
You really can't. You can't take a dink quarterback that's been in the league for 9 years, put him with Belichick and expect him to be good. He's still going to crap his pants when the game gets tight. He's still going to throw into double coverage. That's not how it works. Just like you say with a kicker, you need a guy with an empty head and a strong leg. For a quarterback, you need somebody who's got balls and able to learn. You need someone who's coachable.
Hey, Dante.
Take a dink.
Dante.
Yes.
How do you feel about Ryan Tannehill?
I don't want him.
Okay, he sucks. You hate him. He came in here and beat you this year.
And he's been one of those guys up until this year.
But you're missing my point.
He was in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't beat you.
The coach did.
The coach came in here, and the team came in here and beat you. And the quarterback was just a piece of it. Why can't you be that team?
No, they could be. And I said,
and Ryan Tannehill's a dink, too. That absolutely qualifies.
So, I mean, that's my whole point. You think it all, like, the quarterback's the most important position on the field and in sports. But you don't win totally and solely with the quarterback. And the coaching's really important in that league, and you got the best one. And the division still blows. I'm sorry.
I mean, he was a high draft pick for a reason, so they obviously think that there's some talent there. Now, I think that Dalton is a special level of suck. But I said to you yesterday in the off-air show, like, obviously Belichick's, you know, greatest coach of all time, or one of them. But if he were to get that guy to 11-5, they win the division next year, it might be his greatest accomplishment above all.
So, I never said 11. You know,
10-6 and they win the division. Still, that's pretty gaudy for Andy Dalton.
I'm reluctant to go to 10, but I think they're going to win the division. I think they win the division at 9-7 on tiebreakers or 10-6. I think Buffalo is going to take a step back, and Miami and the Jets aren't ready. And Bill, if he moves on from Brady and catches all this grief from you people about Andy Dalton, how do you go from Brady to Andy Dalton? Bill's going to be motivated. You ever see Bill motivated? He's going to come up with a whole new way to cheat or something. He's going to invest in this because his legacy is at stake too, and he's going to be motivated. And let's see what it looks like when he's motivated.
He went 11-5 with Matt Castle.
Sure did. And like, he couldn't, when Castle first took over, he could not play. Could not play. But by the end of the year, they had figured it all out, and they were putting up 30 and 40 points a game.
They really were. It was unbelievable.
The weapons, and they lost every big game that season.
No, look, they did, Murray. But at the end of the day, they were still better than most of the guys.
11-5, and they should have won. They lost the division on the third tiebreaker. So this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. And so we'll see. Don't you want it to happen? Don't you want to blow me? Don't I want to blow you? This, again, the blood culture. This feeds right into the blood culture. It's more chances to blow each other. It's all we care about, isn't it? Speaking of
but
which.
But you're against the baseball playoff format.
Speaking of which, I want to get back to our Celtics thing from yesterday. I got this thing up my ass about Marvin Williams, who I don't even really know who the guy is.
Oh, God, here we go.
But the Celtics passed on Marvin Williams. They didn't want to sign Marvin Williams in the buyout market, and the excuse-making and the reporting on it is starting to drive me crazy.
Oh, God.
So let's get back to this right after these
Hold
words.
Hold on, I got to put on my phone.
Right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's what they say, he wants to be Bucks?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Did you reach out to him and try to convince him to come to Boston?
He's not coming.
Damn.
Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston. I'm disappointed you guys on the simulcast did not play the actual video of that exchange.
Well, that would actually show the real disappointment from Kemba Walker.
Well, they showed it last night on the Boston Sports Tonight. Yeah, they did show it. We didn't show it here, which is disappointing. Because he was pissed. The audio just doesn't do it justice. So that's Kemba Walker. Being told that Marvin Williams, his former teammate with the Hornets, took a buyout deal with the Bucks and not the Celtics. And that's where Kemba Walker learned about it. Was that Friday night?
Friday night after the Hawks game, yeah.
Friday night after the game. And he was legitimately annoyed. He walked off. Upon hearing it, he walked out of the media scrum.
Right, he had a phone call to make to Williams.
He was like kind of pissed. And I'm not, you know, like, don't misconstrue this. I'm not telling you it's like Palace Q, he's going to blow the thing up or like hold out. Or I'm just... Like, but in the real time,
sure.
I mean, it's obvious when you watch it. You should show it. He was actually pissed.
Well, it would hurt the narrative. That's why they don't want to show it.
this just goes back to, it's frustrating to me how little Danny believes in this team and how little he's willing to peel off the crap on the end of his bench. And what led me to, so they played the cut, and then Chris Forsberg was on last night with Mike Holly and Danielle and, you know, the Boston Sports Tonight crew. And so Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for him, came on and then was asked about Marvin Williams. And did the Celtics make him an offer, and what happened there? And here's what Chris Forsberg said.
I don't remember his name being floated around. Did you have any idea that this recruitment was happening behind the scenes?
Well, I think we were kind of connect dots. Who would Kemba want to play with? You know, of all the guys in Charlotte that made sense that might be bought out, that could help the Celtics. He would have given them some versatility on the perimeter, can knock down threes. It made a lot of sense. And yet, I still think it would have been a difficult decision whether there was a roster spot to be had.
Stop.
You know, like you
stop.
Got no room for you, man.
Still not sure there was a roster spot for him. Still not sure there was a roster spot for a 6'9 veteran who shoots almost 38% from the three-point line, who your starting point guard and arguably best player, second best player, loves to play with and wanted. Not sure there's a roster spot available for Marvin Williams. Maz, you've got to admit, the more people that report this and say this, this is what the team is saying.
Okay, so
this is how the team feels, but just pick it up. Go ahead. I had to stop there. Go.
Go.
And yet, I still think it would have been a difficult decision whether there was a roster spot to be had. You know, like, you still have to swallow hard on Carson Edwards or
what?
Vincent Poirier. And
Wait. Stop. You still have to swallow hard on Carson Edwards and Vincent Poirier.
Okay, so
stop what this means. So if you're out there, this is what he's saying. It's a tough call to move on from Vincent Poirier and Carson Edwards.
Among others.
Among others.
Okay, so wait a minute. Why are you putting that on the Celtics and not on Forsberg?
Because where do you think he's getting it from?
Okay, then he's got bad info, is what I'm telling you.
I'm not so sure. Yeah.
Mike, just listen.
Let's finish.
This has got... All right, fine. Let's play your stupid cut. Go ahead, play it.
Play the stupid cut.
I want to hear from Maz.
Play the stupid cut.
You know, like, you still have to swallow hard on Carson Edwards or Vincent Poirier, and I get it. They haven't really contributed to this year's team.
No.
And you're like, well, just get us somebody. But if you're not convinced that the guy's going to be an eighth, ninth man with your team, you don't go shaking up your roster or cutting a pick.
Can't do that.
And yet I do think, you know, Kemba's your leader.
What?
If Kemba wants somebody, you probably do try to go help him out.
If he can't be your eighth or ninth guy, so what, Marvin Williams would be your 12th guy? And you can't go shaking up your roster? Releasing Vincent Poirier is shaking up your roster?
What roster?
What are you talking about?
Okay, so I'm sorry. I just think this is so preposterous. This idea that you wouldn't add a veteran guy because of Vincent Poirier. And I can tell you that in my understanding is the Celtics wanted Marvin Williams. They were happy to cut whoever they had to cut to take on Marvin Williams. They were going to pay Marvin Williams what the Bucks paid Marvin Williams because everybody was going to pay him the same thing.
Right.
All of which were true. So I have no idea where Forsberg's coming up with this. And I love Forsberg. The next time I see him, I'm going to mess up his hair.
Did they
cry out loud?
Did they tell him that Marvin Williams would play? Or did they say to Marvin Williams, yeah, we'll take you because Kemba likes you, but you might be our 10th, 11th guy, and you may not get many minutes.
I mean, I just don't understand. Look, I didn't sit here on the negotiations, okay? I'm just telling you that why is it so difficult to believe that Marvin Williams picked the Bucks because they're better?
Because all the reporting and the whole thing was that Marvin Williams wanted to come to Boston. He wanted to play with Kemba Walker, and Kemba Walker wanted him, and by his reaction, clearly thought he had him. Clearly thought Marvin Williams was going to come here.
I think they all did.
If you see the video, it's clear that Kemba Walker wanted this guy, and he didn't get him. So you tell me, why didn't he come?
I'm just telling you it doesn't add up. And I don't care what the reporting is. I'm telling you it doesn't add up.
And I'm telling you what I think the story is. That the Celtics didn't really want him.
Mike, they wanted Marvin Williams.
I think they wanted him too, by the way.
So then why didn't they tell him he'd play?
Maybe they did.
Huh.
I mean, didn't Marvin Williams effectively say that I'm probably going to play less in Milwaukee?
How come the Celtics haven't done anything, Maz?
How
come they've done nothing?
I don't have an answer for you on that one.
I mean, this was an easy one. This was a buyout minimum salary.
Yeah, but buyout guys are different than trades. Buyout guys have the right to decide where they want to go because the money's all the same.
Right. And Walker said that this guy wanted to come here.
Okay, so Walker was wrong. Walker was wrong.
Okay. My guess is
one of his best, and this is probably why he was pissed off, is that one of his buddies, one of his boys, had given him some indication, yeah, you know, that'd be great. And then all of a sudden Milwaukee came along and he went to the Bucks and he got pissed.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the Celtics, and I'm not telling this guy some sort of game changer. They wanted the player. My understanding is they wanted the player. He chose the Bucks.
Yeah. And why?
Because the Bucks have a better chance to win.
Combination of minutes and chance to win. Combination. He's not going somewhere to win and not play. That defeats the purpose. Yeah, I'll go there, but I'll be your 15th guy and never play, but I'll win a championship. Well, that's not really winning a championship. That's not what it's...
Sure it is.
It is. No, it's not.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. It's a combination. Am I going to contribute to a team that has a chance to win a championship? Okay? So half of it is, am I going to contribute? Am I going to play? Am I going to be a piece? And the Bucks clearly let him know, you're going to be in the mix. Did the Celtics? Or did they say, well, no, we've got Semi Ojeleye getting those minutes, and we got Grant Williams getting some of those minutes, and there's still Vincent Poirier and Carson Edwards and Javonte Green that you're going to be in the mix with. So you're going to be on the mix, Marvin. We can't guarantee you how much you're going to play because we like these other kids. Is that how it was presented to him? And then Marvin Williams said, well, screw that.
I don't know, but it doesn't sound like he's going to play a ton in Milwaukee.
The Bucks have a better chance to win, and they're going to play me. I'm going to go to the team that's the underdog to the Bucks and have to beat out Semi Ojeleye?
Yeah, look, it feels to me like he wasn't guaranteed minutes in either place, and he picked the better team.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I know this. If I were Grant Williams or Marvin Williams, I'd have picked the Bucks. That's what I know. So I'm just telling you, that part of it doesn't add up. Where Forsberg's getting it or anybody else covering that team, I have no idea.
I think you guys are getting spun.
Yeah, it's a lot of spin.
Marvin Williams, 14-year vet, just wants to win a championship, and that's why I picked the Bucks.
Oh, listen, but you got to play.
I've been spun with the best of them. Believe me, I am not above being spun.
Remember when Karl Malone went to the Lakers when he was done? He just wanted a ring.
But your problem is you're overrating the Celtics.
For you to be right, the Celtics have to do something. If they've got to add a player for me to believe that they're not, it's hoarder Danny. He's just hoarding draft picks and useless young players at the end of his, he's a hoarder. You walk into his house and his garage and he's got stacks of newspapers from 1978 because he's afraid to throw them out.
Well, hold on, there's upside. Tremont Waters was named a G League All-Star.
He's a freaking weird hoarder.
I like hoards.
Is what he is. He's a hoarder. He has to make a move and peel off a one of these kids for me to believe that he honestly wanted Marvin Williams or honestly tried to add at the deadline. Because other than that, I think they didn't really want to add. And now in the backside, they're just spinning with the Green Team media, apparently of which, you know, the Apple Watch is a part of. And so, no, we tried. He chose someone else. And no, we offered multiple picks, but he wasn't available. And it's just convenient spin on the backside. If you really want someone, I would have thought you would have landed one player because there are now dozens of guys who've moved and changed teams, except none here, none. And all I keep hearing from the reporting is that, boy, it's a difficult decision to move on from Carson Edwards and Vincent Poirier and Javonte Green, whoever the hell those guys are.
Okay, well, that's suck reporting then, is what I would tell you. So I'm not disagreeing with you. They needed help. I think they need help. They could use a bench piece. No two ways about it. And the big man need is obvious, except that there isn't one out there to get. Not one who's reasonably price and is actually an upgrade over what you got. But the buyout market, for as long as I have followed it, the buyout guys generally go to teams that think they're going to win. That's what they do.
Yeah, the Celtics are the second team in the East.
Yeah, and the gap between 2-1 is huge.
Okay, and so, but
they might be the sixth team in the East before it's all over.
My guess is they said you're going to be in the mix with a bunch of these jabronis and we can't guarantee a minute.
Which is exactly what Milwaukee told them.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Either way, Trader Danny, 0 for 0 for 0 for like nothing. 0.0 because God knows it's a difficult decision moving on from Vincent Poirier.
I mean, Vincent Poirier. Come on. Like, do you really believe that they wouldn't part from their 12th guy?
I think your GM is a weird hoarder with like all sorts of clutter and crap in his house because he won't throw it out. That's what I think.
A lot of cats.
Here's Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We were willing to part with them. We talked about many deals that involved all 3 of our picks, 1 of our picks, 2 of our picks. even four of our picks. So we're not afraid to trade draft picks. There just wasn't the deal that, you know, I don't want to give up a multiple draft picks for a rental player who is going to be our ninth man. Ultimately was what it comes down to.
Danny Ainge saying he didn't want to give up multiple picks for a rental. Why? Why not?
Yeah, so look, again, I get it. I mean, I get it.
I think they are overall reluctant to make a move. They don't really want to make a move. They don't really want to make a move.
I just think the buyout thing is different. That's all. I think they're different. I'm not defending them for not making a trade. I mean, to me, that, you know, you still make a deal if there's a guy you can get. Whatever their logic is, I'm sure they have a reason for it, whatever. I'd have made a trade if I were them because they could have gotten better. But the buyout thing, I mean, like, they're not willing to cut Vincent Poirier. Does anyone really believe that? The 12th guy?
I think it's possible, yeah.
In the NBA, 12th guys are like freaking tissue.
Unless...
they're like bat tissue.
Unless, and Poirier doesn't really qualify as this, but, you know, you've spent a first-round pick on a guy, you've started to develop him, and you have to release him for nothing. And I think teams consider that a bad return on investment. You should invest in those, and the end of your bench should be those first-round picks that have a chance to become something that you can then include in future deals or develop into something or get lucky, and that's how you should build your team. Like, I get it. I get it. But, there's a line there to overvaluing that. And especially when you have a chance to go to the finals and, you know, really have a good finish and take the next step in your progression. And the fact you've drafted so many guys. Look, go up the Celtics draft history and look what they did in 2016.
Was that the year they drafted all those Euros?
Eight guys.
Oh, yeah, it was ridiculous that year.
They drafted eight guys.
I mean, that year I remember I thought there was no chance that they would use all their picks, and they did.
They used every one.
And they stashed him in Europe. It was a joke. I hated that.
So
hated
like,
it.
So, I mean, I just, the hoarding of these picks, so, and like, it's just too much.
Okay, so listen, I'm, you know, again, you want to tell me that they could have moved Romeo Langford? Fine. Like, but the buyout thing is different. The buyout thing is, there's no cost. It's a free player.
Okay, so either way, we're talking about that. We're talking about the Red Sox. We're talking about the Brady Watch, all of it. We're on 98.5 The Sports Hub, presented by DraftKings. The NBC Sports Boston simulcast has gone to Ron Renneke's introductory press conference. Do you have a chance just to pot that up live, Jimmy? Are we connected to that? Do we have a chance to do that? If we can, we can. If we don't, I mean, we don't have to. I'm just... curious.
Just to hear what a crock the whole thing is.
I mean, just let's just hear what this guy sounds like.
The pitching, maybe more than if I was, you know, if I was a bench coach, or say I was a hitting coach, you don't really deal with the other areas so much. So you can touch more of the guys more often when you're a manager.
Hey,
and it is a different voice. So that is what I think that I do the best. I'm able, and again, I think it's all the experiences that I talk about as a player. You know, I was released a few times, I was sold once, and you know, I went up and down all the time. And so all those experiences build this idea that I have of how tough it is on these guys. The guys that play every day, the superstars, yes, it's hard to perform at this level that they're expected to play at every year. But it's the guys that are bouncing around and they're trying to keep jobs and bullpen guys that turn over so much, it's trying to reach them and get them to understand how it is mentally to go about your job in a way that gets the most out of them. And everybody's different.
Okay, like, so we got it. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice chap. Sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's electric.
So look, this whole thing,
but when I say that, I'm like, this poor bastard.
Yeah. So, right. So I want to make this part of it clear. Because it's not his fault, okay? You know, he's sort of just caught in the middle of this whole thing, which I get. I hate the fact that this guy's the manager of the Red Sox. Hate it. I can't stand it. Because, first of all, it's everything that I don't want in a manager now, which is, you know, a guy who's been around the game a long time, who's got a culture, you know, a generational disconnect with his players. Like, I don't want any of that. He's the perfect bench coach. Because he is there to give sort of game insight to a manager who's got people skills and can connect with the players. I get it. But this is exactly what I don't want in a manager. It's exactly what I don't want in this day and age. And it's not his fault. So I don't want to dump all over Renicki here because, he's caught in the middle of this cluster that the Red Sox are caught in.
And can I jump in just to... Because I know you're big on sort of the cultural aspect of it. You know, you like the bilingual manager, maybe.
For this team right now, yes.
I mean, maybe Latino because you have so many young Hispanic stars and, you know, relating to those guys. And Renicki at 60 years old and, you know, it's like, is he a guy that can reach whoever, you know, Xander Bogaerts and Eddie Rodriguez and these guys? And so do you sort of lose that thing you had with Alex Cora, which is really important?
Yes. I mean, again, there's just a huge disconnect there now. Huge. Massive. No, let alone what you just pointed out with your best players who are, you know, Bogaerts and Rodriguez, Eduardo Rodriguez and Devers. And even Christian Vasquez, if you want to throw him on the list. And to me, he's borderline. But even so, now you got a 65-year-old to 63-year-old white manager.
Like old school baseball guy.
Yeah, it's just, it's really, it's taking you back to, I said during one of the commercial breaks, I feel like I'm back in 1995. Like, this is what they're doing now. Here we are. Like
Jimmy Williams?
Like that kind of thing. And so to me, and this is a huge thing with managers, I've always felt this way. Your manager has to be a timing thing. Like, you got to have the right manager for your team at that time. Because typically, particularly in a market like Boston, it's not going to last more than 3 to 5 years, max. And so this team at this point in time, and I know they were in a bind here because of what happened, and Cora getting fired in the whole nine yards, I still would have gone for Eduardo Rodriguez or Carlos Fabless or one of those guys who could have tapped into this young group.
Eduardo Rodriguez.
I'm sorry, Eduardo Perez. Eduardo Perez is what
Thank
I meant. I'd have gone for, you know, even the guy in Arizona, whom I don't know a lot about.
Right.
Right. But is originally from Colombia. So somebody like that, a little bit more progressive, a little younger, can connect to the young players on the team, particularly the Hispanic guys. That's what I would have gone for. This just feels to me like, we got nothing else to do. This is the logical choice.
And they slapped that interim tag on him for all to see. It's like substitute teacher.
No.
Seat
it's
warmer.
To respect the Major League Baseball process. That's why he has the interim tag.
What a crock.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah.
So wait, in case a report comes out and this guy was cheating, he's no longer a manager? Is that like they're saying that up front? I mean, by saying to respect the Major League investigation process, that's what they're saying.
Here's Bloom.
The interim tag on this title, you know, after talking through it as an organization, we felt that naming Ron our interim manager was the best way to respect, the investigation that's ongoing into our 2018 club.
They just can't ever give you anything straight.
No, wow. They are. No, but what they're saying is
he might be guilty.
If he's in the report, we'll fire his ass.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying.
Oh, so he's the interim. So, I mean, I thought he only had
a
year.
So then hire someone else, you idiots.
Or in which case, do nothing. Why not just say, you know what, because the way it used to be, I don't know if they still do it this way.
Renicki's going to run spring training and we'll see what happens pending the investigation.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, the way it used to be. And I think it's still the bench coach runs spring training.
He's run the last two, apparently.
Yeah, the bench coach always runs spring training. That's sort of standard thing. The managers get other stuff to do. So the bench coach runs the operation that is spring training and the manager does his typical thing. So, why couldn't you just say, you know what, while we're waiting this thing out, we're going to go like we always do. Ron's going to run spring training and then we'll have this thing settled by the time the season starts.
No, if it turns out they find out exactly what he was doing and he gets rung up on the cheating thing, we'll fire his ass and we'll have someone else for you.
Which, by the way,
nice team you got there, Stu.
Yeah, but even that, like, so you're telling me that MLB doesn't already know that? So what, are you trying to hide the fact that you're in a bad job with MLB?
MLB's waiting for this latest Wall Street Journal or Athletic report to come out before they issue their statement. Because, again, why did they hold off on issuing that report today that was supposed to come down today? Instead, it came out that, nope, it's going to go deeper into the spring. So what's going on?
This thing's a bad job. So the other reason I don't like Bloom saying that, so if the report comes out and Renicki's not involved,
they take the interim tag off him?
Right, they're going to make him permanent manager?
He's your permanent long-term manager? That's the guy?
He should be interim for the whole year.
That was
a dumb thing to say.
Cora's coming back. That's part of it, too.
That was a dumb thing to say. Dumb thing to say. Don't say anything. Don't even announce him as manager, frankly.
Again, proof that whatever the wrong thing is to do, the Red Sox will do it.
I mean, how about just wait it out? We don't know. He's going to run spring training. We're still going through the process. And we don't have the results of the investigation yet, so we're going to wait. As opposed to what? Coming out and saying he's interim? because we're respecting the investigation? If his name's in it, we're going to fire his ass too?
That's what they're implying. Aren't they? I mean, you tell me how else to read that.
Should have said nothing. They should have said he's just running camp and we don't know what we're going to do yet. That's what they should have said.
Okay, I promise phones and I keep lying, but I'm going to pay off the promise. Phones coming up next. The Brady Watch, all that stuff from earlier in the program. The bad stuff, Ron Reneke is your interim manager. Unless he gets named in the report, then he'll fire his ass too, and you'll have someone else coming in here. That's in there. Danny Hoarder Danny just refuses to make a move. He just refuses to get rid of anything on the end of that batch. That's on the table. I promise. Your call's on all of it right after this.
Sports, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
The interim tag on this title, after talking through it as an organization, we felt that, naming Ron our interim manager was the best way to respect, the investigation that's ongoing into our 2018 club.
Okay, Reneke officially named. One of the items we're talking about here with your phone calls, as promised. Liam in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Liam.
Hey, how are you, Falger?
What's up?
So, honestly, I don't think I agree with this. And no manager. You hire this guy. You trade your best player. The team's being investigated. Where do you see the Red Sox going this season?
Feels like a hot mess, but I don't think they're going to be that bad.
I mean, honestly, their lineup could be pretty good still.
Go ahead. You put in the email chain. Give me your opening day lineup.
So I would lead off with Verdugo. They might go with Benintendi. Because Verdugo, from what I understand, has got good plate discipline. But I think that you are generally looking at something like Verdugo and left or right. Devers, Bogarts, J.D. Martinez, Moreland, then Benintendi or Verdugo in left or right. Jackie Bradley.
Chavis at second.
Oh, yeah, Chavis, and then Vasquez catching. Pretty good.
Good lineup.
Yeah, the lineup I don't think is going to be the issue, even without Mookie. And I'm not telling you they won't miss Mookie. I'm just telling you they have enough bats.
Is Nathan Eovaldi ready to go?
Allegedly.
Okay, so Sale, Eovaldi, Eddie Rodriguez. That's going to put you in the top third of teams in the American League, as mediocre as that sounds.
Absolutely. The real question is whether their pitching holds up. If their pitching holds up, they'll be good. They'll win 90 games.
I just wonder.
Or close to it.
So just the pure talent in a vacuum on the roster is fine. It will be competitive. They should vie for a playoff spot, if not make it. My biggest concern would be the existing players are going to say, this is just a gap year. This is a bridge year. They're not, Alex is going to be gone for the year. We have some substitute teacher. They traded away our best player and our best pitcher. And, again, I'm just putting that best pitcher name on him for effect. But, but that's the effect on the roster. It's like, well, we're taking a step back this year, intentionally so. So where's the motivation? Where's the – and that's sort of – I wonder if there's just a malaise that hits the team because they look at the landscape and say, well, we're not going for it anyway this year.
Legit concern.
Right?
Yeah, it feels like a massive leadership void. Massive.
Eric in the car on the Celts. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. I remember we were talking about how you thought that, Danny doesn't believe in the team. First and foremost, I hate basketball. I hate it. It's the stupidest sport. But maybe it's not so much that he doesn't believe in the team, but that basketball is the only sport of the big four that isn't actually measured by championships. It's measured by just doing okay, making money, doing some bouncy ball and some, like, whoop-de-doos.
So I'm going to let you go. If you don't like basketball, why call me about it? And I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. I think what's closer to the bone, as Maz has said many times, is that it's pass-fail. Either you are in that championship conversation, which means you're one of two or three at most teams, or you're not. And if you're not, there's nothing you can do. So why throw away a first-round pick? Why throw away even a 15th man when he was a first-round pick and you have invested some time in him? Why do any of that when nothing's going to bring you into that top 2 to 3? And that might be sound logic. It's just sad that that's how Danny Ainge feels about the team. I thought they would be better than that. I thought he would have thought more of them than Maz does. But he doesn't. He thinks about him the same way Maz does.
You're trying to bait me.
I'm not trying to bait you.
Sure you are.
I'm not at all.
Yeah. So I just...
How am I trying to bait you? Danny doesn't believe in the team.
I'm just telling you that no first-round pick is a 15th man. That is like the 15th man, and there isn't a GM in the league that wouldn't give up his 15th man for a, whatchamacallit, signing.
A buyout.
Buyout signing. Like, they would all do it. It's a free player. You don't even have to pay him.
Okay, but be that as it may, Danny Ainge doesn't think this team is capable of much.
So the trade thing is a legit criticism.
And so he's not going to throw good money after bad. And that's, I'm not telling you he's right or wrong. Maybe he's right. He's probably is right.
Do you think there's any restriction from Wick in this?
I just think it's too bad. I think it's too bad because I think the team is capable of going to the finals and making it interesting. Either way, sorry, say it again.
Do you think there's any restriction from Wick on this? In other words,
yeah, is there a luxury tax? Are they bumping up against anything?
No, they're $5 million before they get to the tax.
Yeah, and
maybe they don't want to go into the tax.
Well, but by swapping out one minimum guy for another, I don't think that even impacts it.
No, the minimum guy, forget. Again, that's talking buyout. And I think they were in the market for buyouts. The trade's different, though.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they didn't go after a high-salary player because they're going to go after luxury. They're going to end up in the luxury tax.
And that's another thing. If we're not in the top 2 to 3, we're not going to catch them anyway. So why go into the tax if this is a bridge year?
Correct.
Again, I'm not telling you it's unsound logic. That's a cold reality for us green teamers and Brad bots who think they've got a shot here.
So now you're a green teamer?
Yep.
He has been for a while.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I believe they're $12 million from the tax.
Okay, so I don't think it's a tax concern. I think this is a bridge year. And we're not going to catch the Lakers, Clippers, or Bucks anyway. So we're not going to do anything. And that sucks.
There is some truth to that.
I think they're underestimating the team. Hour to go. Everything on the board. Murray's 90-second update includes no commercials, and then we're right back with you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.